For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. This week is the Haftorah for Shemos. Now, every now and then, there's a difference between the Ashkenazic Haftorah and the Sephardic Haftorah. Different customs developed as to which is the one that we read. We'll do the Ashkenaz one, because that's
what
the best
they
Jacob.
Do in Israel?
That's a good, depends on where you pray. I was thinking that if we continue this into next year, we'll try to do the ones that we miss. You know, or the ones that every now and then there's a Haftorah like Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos, and then we can. But this would be on 1146. And it's not that there was a contradiction. In different areas, they were looking, the rabbis in different places had to come up with the something similar to the Torah reading, and they in different places they chose different sections. Okay. So this week we're going to need to think a little bit as we do it to see the connection between the Haftorah and the Torah reading. It's not as it's not the slam dunk as it was last week. And then also we're dealing with the prophet Yeshaya. A lot of Yeshayahu deals with the future, deals with the messianic times, and the words of the prophecy were given in very poetic terms. So there are many different opinions about exactly what they referred to. So there's not always a right or a wrong, meaning that you'll see, sometimes we'll say something and you'll say, well, what is the real meaning? And sometimes there are different explanations for what it is. I would say like this. We went through a very difficult exile in Egypt and Mitzrayim. And that's really the story of the Parsha, that the Jewish people will have to live in foreign countries, and in those foreign countries we will be subjugated and will be accused of not being loyal, and we will undergo difficult times in those foreign countries. And that was the story of Egypt. But we came out one nation, and we received the Torah, and that and the rabbis called Egypt a Kur Habar. The word is Kur Habarzo, like when you have like iron and you want it to be fixed, you have to put it in an oven and you cook it, and the impurities fall out, and then the metal comes out nice and smooth. And the Jewish people were forged. We became a nation in Egypt. Until we went down to Egypt, we were a family, and there were a bunch of brothers, and they were fighting, and this one went this way, and that one went that way. But going through an experience like going through Egypt together, we became a nation. It made us into a people. And there are a lot of lessons of going through Egypt, and the Haftorah really is going to talk about why the Jewish people go through the things that we go through. Why do we, sometimes it's good that we have enemies because we band together. We have some unity because our enemies, we realize that we have to stick together. But let's see what it says here. Beginning verse 6. Haboyim Yashris Yaakov. Now, this is the word haboyim, means that something's coming. Something is coming. A lot of times life itself can be frustrating because we seem to spin our wheels. We seem to go through cycles. And we don't know how it all will end. So Hashem tells us how it will end. In the end, haboyim, in the future, this is the word like ba, coming. It's coming. Yashris Yaakov. Eventually, we're not going to have to wander around and be wandering Jews and go from exile from this country to that country and be spread around and constantly moving. No, haboyim, in the future, Yashris Yaakov. The Jewish people will eventually be planted and take root. And now it seems like we are have different branches that are cut off and we are not fully flourishing. But the time will come when we will finally be planted. We won't have to move around so much anymore. And we will flourish. We will be planted, Yatzitzu Perach, B'Yisrael. We will start budding and blossoming, Umolu Pnei Tevel Tenuva, and the whole world will be filled with the fruit. So just hang in there. In other words, as we're going through the experience of being uprooted and living amongst the nations, we should know that eventually the time will come when we will be planted, just like we went through the Egyptian exile and we came to the Promised Land. And so too, all these thousands of years where we've been wandering throughout Europe and throughout most of the world, we will eventually not have to wander anymore, and we'll take root, and then there'll be beautiful flowers and buds and all over the face of the world. Now, the Jewish people gets throughout the exile, we suffer punishment. We suffer Holocaust. We suffer inquisitions. We've suffered pogroms. And at times, it makes us feel that Hashem is being too harsh with us. And that's, it is harsh. It's hard to be a Jew. Look what the poor Israel goes through, right? So Hashem's answer to that is the following. Hakamakas makehu hikahu. The nations that came against us, they were totally destroyed. And they're gone. Every nation throughout history that's come against us has been destroyed. And they're totally gone. And we suffered from different nations, but we were not hit like those that came against us. Hamakas makehu hikahu. Were we ever hit like those that hit us? Im kaharug harugav harug. Were we ever killed like the people that killed us? No, we're here today. And that's the, in other words, when we're going through it, it's not much solace that somebody's hitting us and killing us, but we have to know that that's a punishment, that's a process, that's something we go through called the exile. But first of all, eventually we won't have to wander anymore, and eventually we'll take root and we'll flourish. And even though we get punishment, we're not punished as bad as those that come and harm us. Verse 8. Besasa b'shalcha terivenu. There's a certain measure, there's a certain amount of punishment that we get that's earned. Everything that a person goes through in life, there's a certain measure for it. We don't always understand it. Sometimes the people that seem to have difficulties are what we, are good people. So what do you mean? There's a challenge to that. In other words, when they were prophets, you would say the prophets could tell you, why am I suffering? Well, you did this wrong, that's why Hashem is punishing you, right? Today, we don't know. Today, it could be that in previous lives we did something wrong and we need to undergo whatever we're undergoing. It could be Hashem knows that certain people, by going through certain trials and tribulations, they'll become stronger and they will earn. The people that have been tested, so to speak, they are special because they've lived through difficult things, and look who they are, look what they did. People that have not done anything. Sometimes you meet somebody like that, a young kid, and you're thinking to yourself, like, what have they done in life? They haven't lived it all. They haven't seen it all. But look at all the things that other people live through. The fact that people go through things and they face the trials and tribulations of life, that's part of the, everything is, Hashem has an exact accounting of what he expects from people. And so in a certain way, everything is according to the measure. He says that sometimes the farmland, the weather blows off the topsoil. That's an expression like sometimes we get our topsoil blown off, meaning that the land is intact, but the things that we face in life sometimes are not easy. So the answer to that is verse 9, L'chein b'zos yekapur avon Yaakov. This will cause our sins to be forgiven. That's what they, b'zeh kopri chaser chataso. And this is the, by going through this process of punishments and other things, so that's that causes our sins to be forgiven. Now, what sins did they initially have? So b'samo ko avne mizbeek avne gir menufos. We had a beautiful Beis Hamikdash, and Shlomo HaMelech was very wealthy, And he used the most valuable stones for the altar. They were beautiful stones that he used. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they were like scattered all over. These were like precious stones, the most precious the world had. And then when the temple was destroyed, they were like scattered all over the ground. And the reason for that punishment was, Lomaku Hashem Rechamanim. That was because Jews then were worshipping the sun gods, and they were worshipping the man-made gods, and so therefore we lost the right to have an altar to Hashem. Verse 10, Ki ir b'tzura badad nava, and our strong cities then became empty. Nava, our beautiful areas, Meshulach, were emptied out, Benezav and Abed Kamidbar. Our country of Israel became like a desert. Shem yira ego, and a real desert is where the wild animals or the animals graze. You know, if you ever see where a cow grazes, that's not in the a populated area. Vesham yirbats v'kila safa, and that's where not only do the animals graze there, if they want quiet, they go lie down there in the middle of our big cities, our populated areas. We turn to 11:47. Now, what about these nations that subjugate us? So, v'yivash ketzira tishabarnu, when they dry out, they'll be broken. Every nation has its merits. One of the things it's interesting that it's debated now is that people talk about the United States if we're past our glory days, if we're still a superpower, if we're going to continue. And we don't really know because we're just at one point in history. But it's interesting that people already talk that way. They wonder if the days are getting worse and it'll never be what it used to be. You know, the days of exceptionalism of America. You know, there were many years where America was just this far out country on the continent where, you know, off to the side. And then it became a world player. It became the superpower that it did. And now the question is, how long will that last? Are we going to go back to not really accomplishing what we can as a nation? But each nation comes and goes. So he mentions over here also these various nations that came at when they're withered and dried out, you could break them down. And no offense to women, but the women were not necessarily as strong as men. And if a woman could come and take it apart, that meant that it was not very strong. So the verse is saying that these dried out nations, even a girl could beat them. Nashim bo samira so the women will come and they'll break down the branches. They'll come and you won't need a big strong man to come do it. Anybody can come and destroy these nations. Ki lo am binasu, and these nations were not thinking. Al kain lo yirpanu osehu, and therefore the one who created them will not take pity on them. Yotu lo yechununu. It was interesting. I saw one of the Mephoshim learned that this refers to Yishmol, the nation of the Yishmol, that its time will come and it will wither and be dried out. Okay, verse 12.
Amazed.
Yeah, that's right. Certainly have enough trouble from them right now. V'haya b'yamahu yachvod Hashem mishibolus hanar. And when the time comes, so it's really, you have like a whole bunch of small verses where a lot of stuff is happening. So we talk about the exile, and we talk about the difficulties of exile. We talk about the fact that it atones for things. We talk about the fact that there was idol worship. And then we talk about the fact that countries that were over us, that they are withered and they will be defeated. And when the day comes, by Yomahu Yachvod Hashem Mishabolos Hanara Nachum Mitzrayim, and those nations will just be destroyed. They'll just be winnowed, so to speak. They'll be gathered up. It means that he'll clear a space, so to speak. V'atem Tulaktu L'Achor Echad B'nei Yisrael, and Hashem will then pick up the Jewish people that'll be scattered. The Jewish people scattered everywhere because of these nations that were in the land of Israel, and Hashem will pick them up one by one. Now, this describes the Messianic times. This is a famous verse, so to speak, because it's in the High Holiday Maxer and the Rosh Hashanah Maxer, because it mentions the medium of shofar. It mentions that the shofar calls out. It's also they made songs out of this. But basically, the Jews are in their different countries and different places, and in some places, the Jews are totally lost. So there'll come a time in history when Hashem will give us another chance to run our own country, and give us another chance to live in peace and security. And then he'll want to bring the individual Jews back. So how will he get them back? How? What will happen? So this is what it says. V'hayu b'yomahu, it'll be on that day. Yitaka b'shofar gadol, there'll be a really loud shofar. The word, you could say it means a really big shofar. But the word gadol also means that it'll grow. There'll be like a voice that'll speak to people. And they'll be motivated to come back. Ubo, and they will come, and the Jews will come back from two big places. Now, it mentions Jews. These are lost Jews, ha'ovdim, Jews that were lost. He calls them cast away. He says the Jews that were cast away. So there'll be like a certain point in history where the word will go out that'll call back lost Jews. And they will come back, and they'll come from two places. Be'eretz Ashur, from the land of Ashur, Assyria, Vanidochim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, and those that were down in Egypt. Those are like two different directions. Some people say that the lost Jews, Jews get lost for one of two reasons. The word Ashur also means like wealth, the Jews that are into their wealth. And the word Meitzar is that people that are narrow-minded. The boundaries. That's what the word Mitzrayim means, like boundaries. So that there are Jews that are lost because they're either so into wealth and so into comforts and so into, they're not thinking, we're going to see more about that in a moment. Today, it's interesting. There was a time where people left Judaism because they were interested in other philosophies and in other cultures. Today, if somebody leaves Judaism, it's mostly just out of, it's just not convenient, or it's just not, they're interested in the comforts that society has. They're interested in Judaism has a lot of no's, you know, you can't do certain things, and they're interested in just enjoying themselves. And so when that sound comes out, the people that have been lost and pushed away because they're in the land of Ashur, which is like, the land of wealth and the land of people that are just interested in their own comfort, all of a sudden they'll be interested in Hashem. V'ishtakavu, and then they will come to your holy mountain, and Yerushalayim is always a mountain that's high up, and they'll come to that mountain. And that's why when you go to Israel, you make aliyah, you go up. It's supposed to be a metaphor that it's a bona, you go up. Bahar HaKodesh Yerushalayim. Okay. Then it continues on. Now, there are some people that will come back, and there's some people that may or may not come back or have a bigger road to travel. The 10 tribes that were represented, they were the kingdom of Ephraim. That was the kingdom of Yosef. They were the first to go lost, and they'll be the hardest to go back. What happened to them? So now we're going to find out. Hoya teres, woe, and it's a message to the prophecy. What happened to the nations, the tribes of... Most of us today are Jews from Judah. What happened to the main body of Jews from Ephraim and from Yosef and Manasseh and the other ones? So Ateres Geus Shikuri Ephraim. He describes Ephraim as being a drunkard. Ephraim was very, you know, royal and from the tribe of Yosef, who were used to power and affluence. And they were drunk. V'sitz noivu tzvi tifarto. And they like to enjoy the good things that life has. Asher la rosh geishmeh, they want fat and halum nayin and wine. They're just interested in comforts. They're just interested in wealth. Verse 2, Ine chazak v'amatz, they'll come like a strong wind. And there's actually a weather alert. You know, there's going to be some strong winds and heavy rains again, just like we had a few days ago. But... I don't think it's anything serious, or I haven't heard anything serious. But it's, again, some more rainstorms. But this almost describes that. It's like even more than that, like a strong wind. Kizerimba borad, like heavy hail. Shark ketuk, kizerim mayim kabirim. And like, if it rains hard, think of this. The flooding waters, hey niyak la'oretz biyad, that will come like immediately. Baraglim termasanu atera, and... These haughty people, these drunkard Ephraim people, will be rained on, and it'll come rain down on their parade, so to speak, and they'll be stepped on. Geish Shikori Ephraim. B'haisa Tzitzis Novo Svi Sifarto. And their glory, they had a certain glory to them, a certain wealth to them, as that was on their foreheads. Geish Shemenim, that they were like fat and full of oil, and B'terem Kaitse, sure, they'll be like a unripe fig that's picked. Hero Soba Oda B'kapa, and then they'll be swallowed up. So he describes the loss of the 10 tribes that were very wealthy. They did very well, and they forgot Hashem. Verse 5. Now, on that day when the people of Ephraim will go lost, then Hashem will be the Hashem to the rest of the remnant. L'sharamo. Verse 6. The Ruach Mishpat. And there'll be a spirit of judgment, Yoshev al Mishpat, and everything will be done with justice, and Ulugvura, Meshivim, Mechama, Shara, those that come back from war. Verse 7, Vigam, Eilu, Beyayin, Shagu. But then, so some people say he's describing what happened. The Jewish people, again, were two components. There was Ephraim and Judah. And Ephraim would go lost at first because of they were too into their luxuries and into their wine and into their parties. And then now, the only kingdom remaining is Yehuda. And what happens is that Yehuda actually ends up becoming like Ephraim. And then the base of Migdash, and they also are going to go into exile. Gamel b'yayin shagu, the tribe of Judah also gets into the wine, b'sheker tov. Not only wine, they like whiskey too. Sheker is anything that gets you drunk. You know, it doesn't have to be just wine. And it wasn't just the simple people, Kohen v'Navi. The priests and the prophets also blew it. B'sheker nivu mina yayin tov mina sheker, and they got from drinking too much. B'ro paku plila, and they because of the wine and because of the luxuries, their vision went lost. Verse 8. This is very graphic. Ki kol shuchanas, and all of their tables are moliki, are full of dung, are full of vomit. Tzoya b'limakum. They have parties, and they really are just worshiping themselves. We have meals that are celebrations, that are a service to Hashem. We believe when we have our families at our tables that we're serving, there's a holiness to that. And there's no that when we have a meal on a Shabbos or a Yontif or even during the week, and we're eating with a certain intensity to do mitzvos and to serve Hashem, the meal becomes holy. Whereas if a person has a meal to the idols and he's just fattening themselves up, so that's kind of described over here. Ki kol shuchad, all their tables are full of, it's just going to go to the worms. So now the question is, if the people have become drunkards and the people have become, they're not interested, so what do you do? So most people say over here that he's saying you have to start over again with the young ones. This is what you said, to send the kids. You have to send the kids. Es mi yoredeya, who's going to know? Es mi yavin shmu, who's going to gemule mechola? You get them straight to the babies. That there's a purity to children because they haven't experienced sin. And so when people are pure, they can see things for the way they are. Verse 10. It's an interesting expression over here. And it's kind of repeated. It's basically kitzav litzav. The word mitzvah, the word tzav is from a mitzvah. So kitzav litzav. What happened was at first they just dropped a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. Yeah, okay, I'll skip that mitzvah. Kitzav litzav. I'll skip that one. Kav l'kav, there was another another mitzvah, like a lesser mitzvah. Zer sham, a little bit here, a little bit there. And slowly, like they just dropped a few things. You know, it's interesting, there's a brand of Judaism called conservative Judaism. And when they first started, it was almost the same as Orthodox. Really almost the same. If you looked, you wouldn't see that much difference. In fact, a lot of synagogues went back and forth within a short amount of time, and nobody saw, it was a little more, they gave sermons in English.
The men and women sat together. They wanted to, because they're not sure. They didn't know.
Uh-huh. But nobody saw that as being, well, okay, you know, a little bit, you know, so you change your tradition a little bit, you know, just a little bit. And then, you know, 20, 30 years later, And they're talking about officiating in intermarriages. They're talking about same-sex marriages. They're talking about, like, there's, like, nothing that's sacred anymore. And nobody, at first it was just, well, we can't do this. Get one mitzvah, that mitzvah, just a little bit. Just push it a little bit. There's like the, and he kind of describes that over here. Kitzav litzav, one command, another command. You got it, a certain, what they call a slippery slope. Like you're kind of sliding down. Verse 11. Ki belage safa obeloshen acher si daber amazeh. And when the prophets tried to speak to them, it was like it was in a foreign tongue, like there was no speaking to them. Verse 12, Asher Omar Aleihem, and when he spoke to them, they would say, Zosa Menucha, they were only interested in the easy way. What's easier? You know, they used to advertise like this, you know, shorter services, they break the fast earlier, it's a little bit easier. And once somebody sees an easier way, they don't want to listen anymore, because they just want the easy way out. Verse 13, and Hashem tried to speak to them, one mitzvah after another, kav l'kav, one, it's an interesting expression, like a measuring line, like you draw where you're holding. Zeresham, a little bit, Laman, Yelchu, Vakashlu, Achor. And the people, they slowly gave up one mitzvah after another, and then they stumbled back. And then they were trapped, and they were caught up into, before they knew it. So it's really interesting. He kind of describes what happens in Gullus, you know, where there's a lot of suffering and a lot of challenges, and Jews get involved in drinking and in luxuries, and other Jews slowly push the line little by little, and they're caught. And what's interesting is that, you know, we think that our experiences today are so different from what happened 1,000. It's not different at all. It's a process, but it's been going on a long time with the even the original Gullus. Now over here. He finishes. They always try to finish on a higher note. Actually, in the real book, if you'll notice, we went from verse 13, and now we're going to verse 22. So something's missing over here.
We're in a different chapter.
And we're in a different chapter, right. Yeah. So we skip. So you'll have to, the Haftorah skips.
Is that because it was the only way to save grace or something?
Well, we didn't want to stop there. We don't want to, you know, stop there with, well, they did one mitzvah after another, and they went down the slippery slope, and then they stumbled, and then, okay, that's not a way to finish off the Haftorah with Torah reading, like with we got to finish off. So the only problem is to keep on reading, though, would be too long of a Haftorah. So they skip a chapter and a half, and then they get to the end over here. There are one or two places where it did that. So they wanted to give the message that, you know, we're talking about exile, living amongst the Gentiles, just like Egypt. And we're talking about those that punish us will get punished, and they look impressive now, but just like Egypt was destroyed, they will be destroyed. But there'll be this process where many Jews will go lost, and that will happen. You might think that there's not a happy ending. We never finish off with a sad ending. So therefore, it skips a little bit to get to the end of it. That's over here on 11-foot Lachain. Could be that's why the Sfardim didn't like that. But there is a little, occasionally a Haftorah will do that. When we read the Torah, you're not allowed to skip. You're not allowed to like do a little here, a little there. It's like very, the Torah, it's supposed to be pretty much continuous. But a Haftorah, they do take certain liberties. So that's what it, Lachain, therefore, Ko'amar Hashem al Beis Yaakov. And thus says Hashem to the house of Jacob, Asher Pada es Avram. And one of the things that we often mention, the very first blessing in Shemona Esrei, is that Mogen Avram, the shield of Avraham, that no matter how far Jews stray, they still have that connection as long as they remember the kindness of Avraham. They remember that we live for others and to be a giver and to be help. As long as they keep that connection, that will be what ultimately will bring redemption and call us back. And so Hashem says that he's going to redeem the Jewish people in the merit of Avraham. Lo ata yevosh Yaakov. And Yaakov shouldn't be embarrassed. Lo ata panav, and it shouldn't be we had some false redemptions where we thought the time came and it didn't come, but the time will come when it will be real and it won't be false and it won't be phony. Verse 23, because when my children, they see, meaning the Jewish people, they see my handiwork, they will sanctify my name, and Yaakov will be holy, the Jewish people. Now, the word Yaakov means the Jewish people. There's two words. There's Yaakov and Yisroel. Israel is the higher, you know, when Yaakov does everything right, Yaakov is from the struggle. And so what Hashem says that Yaakov will be holy, the name struggle, the Jewish people in their struggle will be redeemed. And, you know, we talked before about the punishment and the Jews that went lost and how they pushed the line and they got drunk. And being drunk isn't pretty. If you've ever been around people that drink, it's really, really, really awful. You know, the drinking, it was mostly, Jews never had that. It was mostly Gentiles that drank. And they used to, you know, shikr from the goy was the expression, mm-hmm. like the Jew.
We cover.
What?
We cover.
We cover?
We cover well.
Yeah, that's right. But it changed, unfortunately. It's no longer that Jews know inherently not to get drunk and not to face the difficulties of being an alcoholic. And it's not pretty when people are drunk. They ruin their families and they abusive and they get sick and they throw up and they that's a description he has for the people that have sinned. Now, the only thing is that after they're drinking, they can sober up and maybe they can go to Alcoholics Anonymous, they can fix themselves, they can fix their lives. Not easy. But over here, he describes Yaakov in his holiness will be redeemed in the merit of Avraham, and they will sanctify his name, Esekei Yisrael Yaritzu, and their strength will come from Hashem. That's how they'll manage to pull themselves out. And so, even though, again, we had the Haftorah started very harsh, it finished off on the nice note, and they didn't want to keep us there all day, so they skipped a chapter, and that was the
thing.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.